Now, if we can open up the Word of God, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 and down. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Well, the Greek-speaking Jesus followers in Jerusalem are upset. They're throwing a fit. They're seeing something that it's lacking. They're seeing something that is happening that it's unfair to them. They feel the church is not providing equal distribution of charity for some Greek-speaking widows compared to Aramaic-speaking widows. And because of that, a conflict arose. Imagine this. The Bible says that people are getting saved by the thousands. People are getting converted. The church is growing. The needs are growing. The apostles of Jesus Christ are preaching the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving. Miracles are happening. And all of a sudden, out of all the people, there is a group of widows that are saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Something is happening here in the body of Christ that we believe it's unfair. You're showing partiality. You're giving bread and you're taking care of a certain group of people. But because we are not equal or the same, you're showing us partiality. And they threw a fit. And the apostles now come to a point, and this is what they're saying as a conclusion. Verse 2. And the 12 summoned or gathered together the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, they're not saying that serving tables is beneath them. What they're saying is that as apostles of Jesus, we were called specifically to preach the gospel, to pray, and to bring converts into the kingdom of God. But as disciples, we also know our limitations. We cannot do everything. Say everything with me. Everything. We can't do everything. Because if we're going to be doing everything, we're not going to be able to do what God has called us truly to do, to be in the Word of God, to pray, and to preach the gospel. So sometimes when we think that, you would think, man, these apostles, they were prideful. They thought that doing the tables and preparing tables and doing all of these things was beneath them. No, it was not beneath them. But I believe the Lord has brought this conflict, so to speak, to show that it takes a body of Jesus Christ to do the work of Christ. It's not just about one person. It's not just about the disciples. But it's about the body of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm reminded of a story that is written in the Old Testament. And it's about Moses and his journey that he had with the people of Israel. It came a moment that the people grew in numbers and there were multitudes of people, and Moses began to deal with the issues of people. The Bible says that since morning till night, he was dealing with all the problems. One problem, another problem. Think about it, it's millions of people. It's not just hundreds of people. It's thousands and tens of thousands of people. And Moses, since morning till evening, dealing with the same issues and the same problems. And there was wisdom from his father-in-law. He came and told him some of the things that maybe Moses thought that it's not normal. I have to do everything because I am the leader. I must do everything. I have the responsibility to do this. And he says to them, Moses' father-in-law said to him, if you want to read, it's written Exodus chapter 18, verse 17 and down. What are you doing is not good. Can you imagine? Somebody is busy doing great things. You might be busy doing great things. And somebody's saying, listen, what are you doing? It's not good. Because you're putting all this just upon yourself. It doesn't, the body of Jesus Christ is not about one person, but it's about a body. It's about all of us. And he says, you and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. And that's what he's saying. The thing that you're doing is too heavy for you. And later on in verse 20, he says, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, because he encouraged them to pick leaders from the congregation and to empower them in the body to help Moses and make them known the way in which they must walk and what they must do. In different words, Moses, you pick those people and you teach them in the ways they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for, and what should Moses look for? Number one, able men from all the people. Men who fear God. Today, we just look for talented people. We can care less if they fear the Lord, if they have a walk with the Lord. As long as they can put a show, as long as they're talented in whatever what they're doing. But they're lacking the character that it takes to do what they've called to do. No, but over here it says, able men, men who fear God. Third, who are trustworthy. And number four, that hate bribes. In different words, they're not partial. They're not partial. They're not, oh, because I received something for you, now I'm going to just be cool with you. I'm going to cover all of that. But they're fair. And Moses did that. And that was a blessing for the whole body of Christ. Why am I saying all of these things? Because we need you in the 2024. We need you to pray and we need you to say, God, who am I? Can you reveal yourself to me? Am I a gardener? Am I a cook? Am I a traveler? Am I an encourager? Am I one of those people that will just see those that are broken and be there to give them a hug? Am I a person that can buy a meal for somebody? I can't do great things, but am I a person that can pray for somebody? Now here, let's continue reading Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and down. Therefore, brother, pick out from among yourselves or from among you. Again, now the disciples of Jesus, now same thing what happened with Moses. He said, pick up among you. Oh, in America, it's very known to just bring people from all over. You need somebody, just hire them. You need a great musician, just hire them. You need a great preacher, just hire them. You need a great thing to do, just hire them. Everything is about hiring. But over here, the disciples are saying, choose people from where? From Alabama? No, among you. In different words, he's saying that in the body of Jesus Christ, we should not neglect people that are among us. We should all be for to see those that are among us and empower them and give you opportunities to serve. Amen? Among you. Are you among us? Amen? There is room for you at the table. There is room for you. Later on, I'll remind you about a few things immediately how you can get involved. Immediately. And if you receive a phone call from another state, you tell them, I belong among here. I'm teasing you. Do what the Lord tells you to do. But this is what it says. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you seven men of good repute. Again, it's not just anybody, but it talks about a walk with the Lord that people have. Full of the Spirit. The second thing. The third thing here says, and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Are you kidding me? You need people to wait on tables that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are full of good character, that fear the Lord, that have the Spirit of God upon them, that have anointing of God upon them. Anybody can just do that. Why do you need those people that are anointed to do the things that anybody can do? You see, in the body of Jesus Christ, we all need the anointing of God to do even the littlest thing, because in our flesh, we don't want to do it. In our flesh, it's too small for us. In our flesh, it's beneath us to take a vacuum and clean the carpet. In our flesh, sometimes it's beneath us to take salt and salt the sidewalks for somebody else to be blessed. Somebody else can do that. In our flesh, sometimes the little things that people don't see, we don't want to do it because we want sometimes as people applause. We want to be seen sometimes. For us to be able to do even little things, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because when we have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see the bigger picture. Why we do what we do? Why do I answer the phone in the office? Why do I clean after somebody else? Why do I have to hold up the door? Why do I have to count and do the accounting? Why do I have to do this or why do I have to do that? All of the things that we do, not only in ministry, but in our daily walk. If we just see that as a job and as a duty, we miss the opportunity of the blessings of the Lord that God can bless us and the people around us. And as believers, we are to cry out to say, God, would you anoint me with the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you anoint me for whatever what I'm doing, for whatever what I touch, to prosper and to be blessed and to bring glory to your name. Hallelujah. Because if we don't have that, sooner or later, we will give up because we will get discouraged. And over here it says that we need 7 men to pick out of among you good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this day. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see, now the disciples are saying, enable us to do what we've called to do, to feed you, to empower you, to preach the gospel, so we can devote ourselves to prayer and teaching of the word, but also other people, let us give them the opportunity to serve the table. Verse 5, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, and Prosperly Antioch. Verse 6, those they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith to this moment. It's amazing that over here it says that the word of God continued to increase. In one of the thoughts that I began to ponder upon this word, the way the word of God began to increase is because the people were coming to the word, to the Lord, and now the people were sharing the gospel, and the word of God more and more began to increase. Now, if you can think for a moment how these disciples felt. They're looking at the disciples, and they looked and they saw miracles, the power of God. Anointing of God was upon them. And Philip and Stephen, they're just looking at them and saying, I'm not going to do the tables. Why would I do the tables? I want to do what you're doing. Can you imagine they had every opportunity to complain and to say, I don't want to do the little things. Dealing with this group of people that are complaining, that things are not unfair in the church, you want me now to be with this group of widows and to speak with them and to feed them and to clean tables and to hang out with them. And the Bible said that they were doing this daily, not once a month based on volunteer, we're gonna sign up. Daily, daily they were doing this. But the Bible talks something very powerful if we continue reading about Stephen and Philip. And this is what I want to encourage you in whatever what you do to grasp upon the importance of what it means to be just ordinary people, to do the extraordinary things. Now it says this, And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Let's stop here for a moment. Imagine this. He's doing something among the people. He's bringing food power to the table. He's taking care of these widows. And all of a sudden, somebody is sick. He puts a hand. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, heal them. Boom, a miracle happened. Next thing you know, again, he's serving. Somebody lame came. Oh God, do a miracle, heal them. And all of a sudden, they're healed, they're jumping. They're praising the Lord. The anointing of God was upon him. Stephen did not limit just the tables, but he responded to the call and allowed God to use him while he was serving the table. Why? Because the apostles chose people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the character of God. That the power of God was upon them. And it doesn't matter what you give to this kind of people, they will serve. Because the body of Jesus Christ is about servanthood. Jesus says, he who wants the higher chair, you who want to rule, you who want to be on the top, no, you serve. This is where the power is. And let me take you further. This is where the freedom is. This is where the freedom is. And I'm telling you that I've experienced that in my own life. In my own life, when I came here to Summit International School of Ministry in 2009, I thought I'm going to be this great shot. You know, when you become a student, you respond to that call that you think you're going to be the next Billy Graham. And sometimes we chase after all of these ideas, and then Dr. Colin called me and says, would you come and start Sky Camp? Sky Camp? I went to school to be Billy Graham. What's Sky Camp? Dealing with kids. I don't even like kids. But it was serving in that capacity. It was the moment when I was looking around me and my peers that were the same age as I, they were doing all of these great things that I wanted to do. And yet I'm not even doing close to what I thought I'm gonna do. And it took about 7 years to wait tables. Thank God for Stephen, it was immediately because he was already converted and anointed. I was still in the journey because I was complaining. I was measuring myself up to others that they're doing these things. They're the same age as I am. But look, what am I doing here? Building swimming pools, receiving phone calls. Can you imagine receiving phone calls? Hey, Pablo, what are you doing there? I'm building a swimming pool. For what? Hey, if you chose to build swimming pools, at least go be a general contractor. You at least make more money. Right? And it's amazing when you receive all these phone calls and everything is coming against you. But you're staying put because you know, even in the middle of difficulty, even in the middle where it doesn't make sense, God, now it's about me and my character. Would you pour out your anointing upon me? Would you give me the ability to serve with joy? Not to complain. Not to murmur, not to do all of these things that the world says to do when you're not happy, but give me joy in what I'm doing. We started Sky Camp. I believe it was 6 or 7 kids. 10 years later, it's more than 100 kids each summer, each week, that are coming on this campus and they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing that God is so gracious and merciful. That even through my complaining, he still did a work on this campus. Even through my lowest moments of life, thinking that my life came to this after finishing a Bible school. No, but God was able to take all of those things and to do great things for his glory. Because it's about his kingdom. It's about the body of Jesus Christ. And it was not just me, but it was a team of people. They were able to do these things. You know, Stephen could have struggled for a moment probably as well to say, I'm going to deal with this complaining group of widows and I'm going to wait the table. But even then, to do that, God, if I don't have your anointing, I'm gonna fail in this. God, if I don't have your Holy Spirit to help me, I'm gonna fail in this. But he says this, and Stephen, full of grace. Oh, I need grace to do what I do. I need grace sometimes to do what I do. You mean to meet people and to greet people? Yes, you need grace. You mean the moments where nobody sees and I'm frustrated? Yes, you need grace in those moments to do what you're called to do. Full of grace and power. It doesn't talk about that he went to the gym and his biceps were big. It talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. They give him the ability to see the need and to embrace the need to wait on the tables. For a group that was not so easy, full of complaining, full of murmuring, and full of not happy people, but he was anointed to do the things he would have been given up if he was to do on his own without God. But then he says, this is what I love, and I'm going to talk for a moment as we close. He was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogues of the freedmen and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Sicilia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. You will always have people that will rise up against you whenever, when you're anointed to do even the little things. The problem was not in Stephen doing the tables. The problem that they had, that he was anointed to do the tables. That's the big difference. Stephen was anointed to do that. And because he was anointed, miracles and great power of God was upon him. And wonders were happening. And when people saw that, they had a problem with Stephen. And later on, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 10 says, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And they rose against him. Capture this. People will withstand you when you do even the little things with anointing, with power, when miracles will happen. Expect opposition. It's not about the little things that you do. It's about the power that you possess while doing those things. And Stephen became the first martyr because he chose to embrace the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even waiting the tables. Next time I'm going to be talking about a man by the name of Philip, that he's also included here. He was included to wait tables as well. And we're going to read from chapter 8, the journey of Philip. And we're going to be talking about Apostle Paul when he was converted. Because Apostle Paul was a witness when they killed Stephen. And now, Apostle Paul is grasping the idea of the body of Jesus Christ, what it is. How he likens the body of Jesus Christ to our own body, physical body. And how we need each member. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Philip and his journey. It's an amazing journey. That whenever when they embraced to do the little thing that it seemed little for others, they allowed the Holy Spirit to anoint them even to do the little things. And God has allowed them among those little things to lay hands on people, to pray for them, for miracles to happen, for people to get healed, for the miraculous power of Jesus Christ to be manifested through their lives. You mean through waiting tables? Yes. Yes. Now, in our life, it says that they were chosen because they were already filled. They had the characteristics of what it takes to be a believer in Jesus Christ. How do we do that in our life? It's a necessity and it's a must for me and you as believers to walk with the Lord, to read the Word of God and to pray. It's not enough for you to come here on Sunday to hear the message and then go home. It's not enough. Daily bread give us our daily bread. Say with me, daily bread. Daily bread. It's right here. All what we need to do is to open and read it. In 2023, in the beginning of the year, I gave a challenge to the church to read through the Bible. We shared the plan, a Bible reading plan, and many of you did it, and I'm so proud for you that you have done that. Now we're going to do it again. You mean again? I just finished. Yes, we're going to start it again. Why? Because we need a daily bread. This is what we're going to do. Daily bread. Reading the Word of God. Waking up in the morning, in the evening, during the day, pondering upon the Word of God. This is how we grow in the ways of the Lord. When we read, there is maybe a scripture that stood out to us, and we pray over that scripture now. Lord, what does it mean? Or maybe like we've heard this morning, God, give me the character of Stephen. Not a whole lot is spoken about him, but what it does say about him, that he was chosen because something was different about him. The hand of God was upon him. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was filled with wisdom from above. And you would think that if you qualify for all of these things, you would be picked for the next pastor. No, you'll be picked to wait tables. It's amazing. Give me the characteristic. Give me the joy that even in those little things that I see, that they might be below me, I need the anointing to embrace them. And when you do that, my brother, my sister, God is going to anoint you to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. To lay hands on the blind and they shall see. When you see the broken, God is going to stir you to be the answer. Not to pray for the answer, but to be the answer. God, give them food. No, you go buy them food. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do those little things. Because they're not little into the kingdom of God. They're not little. Embrace being a cook. Embrace being a traveler. Embrace being a gardener. Because in those moments, it is the greatest freedom for a believer to serve and the greatest reward. Amen. Now, you might be asking, what's next? What's next is, as Pastor Josiah shared, on our portfolio on TV, there's a QR code. Scan that. Fill the information there and say, I want to serve. We have a need downstairs to invest into the little ones. Almost every Sunday we struggle to have volunteers there because everybody wants to be scholars. They want to be here. Can we put the things to practice and sign up and say, I'm going to go and volunteer and invest into the little ones? Share the gospel with the little ones because they matter. You might not see the results today. You might not see the results tomorrow, but you will see the results in the future. I believe the broken families and the things that we are witnessing around us, it's not because it just happened for the past 5 years. I believe it happened for decades. This is the result of it. Is the lack of involvement in youth and children. And as I said, when I started Sky Camp, I did not enjoy being around kids because they were noisy and I just like quietness. But supernaturally, I don't know how God has baptized me with this love for children. And I came up with the slogan, children are not a bother, but a blessing. God can do that for me and for you. He can do that. That we can see the necessity and the need. We don't have a whole lot of time to invest into these children. It doesn't hurt to be kind to them. When they run around, it doesn't hurt to bless them. We have a need also at the sound. If God has blessed you with good hearing and experience, come to Ben and say, I want to serve. So Ben, you can enjoy the service a few times a month. You can do that. If God has blessed you and called you to that, has gifted you. Or you may say, I'm willing to learn. Or you might say, well, I have experience how to make coffee after every Sunday. we come to Roosters downstairs and you can say, well, I want to give a break to the team and I want to serve in that capacity. I need to be trained in that area, but I would love to bless them. Maybe you want to be involved in the welcome team. Maybe you want to be involved in the connect groups that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. Not necessarily to lead, because we all want to lead when it's something visible, but to show up and to be together as brothers and sisters, as the body of Jesus Christ. And yes, we need the anointing to say yes. Because if the football is on, we want to stay home and watch football. If something else is going on, we want to relax. We don't want to make the effort to come to church. We don't want to make the effort maybe to come together, the brothers and sisters, during a connect group. We need the anointing. We need the anointing to do the little things that in our flesh, we don't want to do it. Hey, brother, can you come and preach? Oh, yes, I'll be right there. How many people are going to be there listening to me? No, no, we're going to shy away from things like that. And we're going to say in the little things, I'm going to say yes. But for me to say yes, God, I need the anointing like Philip needed. I need the anointing like Stephen needed. I need the anointing. I need the anointing to do what I do. I don't have the capacity on my own. I don't have what it takes on my own. Only God knows the cry of my heart. God, if your anointing is not here to do what I'm called to do, I don't even want to mislead you. I don't even want to pretend like I have it all together. We need the anointing in whatever what we do. And so much more in the little things. Dealing with people. Dealing with complaining people, I should add. Waiting the tables. Bringing the food. Doing all of these things. I need the anointing. You might say, I want to come and volunteer here at Summit International School of Ministry. This is our Bible school. What can I bring to the table? There's a whole lot of things, especially in the summer, to take care of 100 acres. Pastor Carter reminds us, from the grass to the grass, this is our mission as a church. Not only we are to fellowship with the students and bless them, but also we need the anointing to do the practical things. Before they come here, how can we prepare this campus, the dorms for them? How we can bless them? How to make it the most beautiful experience for them? That's how we share Christ with them. How we can mow the lawn so it looks beautiful. How we can do the flowers. Or maybe you want to bring something and bless this ministry with whatever capacity it is. There is so much to do. But often we think it's just waiting the table. Let somebody else do it. No. Can I do it? Are you with me? Can we all raise our hands as the body of Jesus Christ and say, in 2024, can I do it? Can I be plugged in? And can I not have the attitude that something is beneath me? Nothing is beneath me. The moment you think that something is beneath you, pray, God, anoint me with your spirit. Because whatever what I'm going to touch is going to prosper. Miracles is going to happen. Because they used the anointing to do other things. Because God is going to send people your way to bless them and to free them. In your job, in whatever what you're doing, do it with joy. Say, God, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can say, God, I hate this job. But God, I repent now. Would you give me the grace? Anoint me for this. So whatever I touch can bring a change. Miracles can happen. Freedom can happen in people's lives for your name to be glorified. And as Pastor Josiah shared this morning during our huddle meeting, that 2024, let our story not be just talk, but power. Because the kingdom of God is not just words, but power. Power. When we pray for somebody, when we encourage somebody, that there will be a result. Amen. Father, we're grateful for your word that has power. Lord, your word has changed my life. And I'm so grateful that you have taken me through so many years of teaching me the importance of little things, awaiting the table. And I did not like it at times. I kicked it against it and I pushed it against it. But more and more, whenever when you begin to open your character to me, whenever when you poured your grace and your anointing upon me, and I began to embrace the little things, and the attitude became, anything that I touch, let me do it as unto the Lord. And that changed my life. God, let this be our story, that we will never think of things that we're asked to do or the opportunity that we might have, and we would think that those things are below me. Oh God, forgive us for having that thinking. And in the moment when we don't want to do those things, give us the grace to cry out to you, to anoint us with your power and with grace and with your spirit, because we need your anointing to wait the tables, to do the little things to the others that in our flesh we might think that they don't even deserve because they're complainers and they're not happy about anything. Help us to do those things daily as the disciples did, as the apostles did. Lord, help us. Help us to seize those opportunities to pray for people. Help us to seize those moments and not to stop just waiting the table, but to allow you to work through our lives, for miracles to happen around us, for our words to have weight, for our words to have power. We pray, oh God, that 2024 will be a year where we are going to get involved in this community, in this body, and whatever, where we work, wherever, where we reside. Help us, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Help Jesus. Help us, Jesus. We need you. And we pray that we would embrace your word. We pray, oh God, that we would embrace a prayer life. We pray, oh God, that we will love your word. We pray that we'll be filled with your spirit. We pray, oh Lord, that you would do these things in the name of Jesus, in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.